Liebe Freunde des Rock'n'Rolls, herzlich willkommen zur neuen Folge von Metal Minds, The Pit Unplugged, der Podcast von Metal.de. Mein Name ist Diana Heinbucher und ich begleite euch durch diesen Pit. Und dieser Pit, ja, das war schon was Besonderes. Es geht heute um Rock'n'Roll, um britische Rock'n'Roll. Ich habe die Band Leap im Interview. Alle vier, der Adam, der Declan, der Hector und der Jack, haben sich für mich Zeit genommen und wir saßen in der Sonne in Leipzig und das war unglaublich schön, nur leider ist die Zeit viel zu schnell vorbeigegangen. Und dann gab es natürlich auch noch einen richtigen Pit. Die sind so ein bisschen gelabelt als Indie-Rock-Band. Ich sehe das nicht so, dass Leap eine Indie-Rock-Band sind. Ich finde schon, dass das kraftvoller Rock'n'Roll ist, mit elektronischen Elementen, könnte man sagen. Und die haben letztes Jahr Ende November ihre dritte EP herausgebracht, The Downfall EP. Und die waren gerade auf Downfall Tour. Drei EPs gibt's aktuell. Die One Million Pieces EP, die ist im Juni 22 herausgekommen. Das war die Debüt-EP von Leap. Dann 23 gab's die Dark Habits EP. Und letztes Jahr, Ende November, ist dann The Downfall EP herausgekommen. Und ich glaube, wir alle meinen, es ist Zeit, ein Debütalbum zu veröffentlichen. Und genau das wird dieses Jahr passieren. Am 3. Oktober wird Entropy, das Debütalbum von Leap, erscheinen. Und im Podcast heute reden wir darüber, warum man erst jede Menge EPs veröffentlicht und dann ein Debütalbum. Wir reden auch so ein bisschen über die Musikindustrie in UK und Kleinst- und Klein-Venues, auch im Vergleich zwischen UK und Deutschland. Und ja, ansonsten geht's natürlich um die Musik, da geht's um Emotionen und auch, wie man an Produktion herangeht und was die Jungs auch aus ihren vorherigen Projekten schon mitbringen an Erfahrungen und wie diese Erfahrung sich auf Leap und auf das Songwriting, auf die Musikproduktion in diesem Viererpack auswirkt. Genau. Ja, also der Podcast heute ist auf Englisch. Ich habe jetzt noch eine deutsche Einführung dazu gemacht, denn ich habe den Podcast jetzt gar nicht so viel geschnitten. Die Jungs sind ziemlich quirlig, sehr energiegeladen und nicht sehr, man könnte sagen, diszipliniert gewesen, als wir dieses Interview gemacht haben. Deshalb sind da immer mal ein paar Zwischenrufe mit drinne. Wir schweifen manchmal ab. Und ich habe das jetzt so gelassen und wünsche euch einfach damit ganz viel Spaß. Und wir steigen nun ein in das Interview.
You can pick this, but you have to share it with...
I don't want to share with the guys. It's my mic now.
Okay, then...
Does have a wireless mic for him.
He likes to get into the crowd, but tears.
So then I need my questions because I'm prepared.
I love it, girl.
Where are we prepared? That's a real question.
Yeah, we will see.
You will see. Time will tell.
What's the name of your band?
Okay. I will start with an introduction and then we dive deep into the questions.
Okay, looking forward to it.
Welcome to Metal Minds, the Pit Unplugged podcast. Today, with me, Diana Heinbucher, and I'm thrilled to guide you through today's pit. It's going to be intense because leading to charge today, both musically and thematically, the British band Leap.
Doing great.
A band that dives deep musically, emotionally, and honestly. Today, we will talk about new music, personal experience, mental health, the music industry, and everything that truly moves us. We are here in Leipzig at Werk 2. Welcome, Leap.
Hello. Thank you so much for having us, Diana.
Yeah, thank you that you are here and that you take the time to talk with me. And before we start, I think we need to introduce every one of you. So we start with Adam.
Hello, my name is Adam. I play guitar in Leap.
Hello, my name's Hector, and it's an absolute pleasure to be here. I play the drums and sing a little bit as well.
Hello there, my name's Jack, and I do lead vocals for Leap.
My name is Declan, and I play bass, and I'm not allowed to sing in Leap.
but the bass is a very important instrument.
It's an underrated instrument. Yeah. People don't give it enough credit, okay? That's what gets people moving. This man is a wild dog, okay? He gets the crowd moving.
Okay, you're currently on tour for your Downfall EP. How the show's been so far? Any moments that really stuck with you?
I mean, the whole journey so far has just been incredible. It's amazing to feel how things are growing so fast for us in the moment, and just to see the real connection that we're having with our fans has been amazing. So I don't know if we've had, what's been your personal highlight so far, guys? I mean, personal highlight. You guys got
We went back to one of, personally, my favorite venues on this tour. And I think Declan agrees, the other boys as well, in a place called Konstanz. We went back to play a show at Kulturladen.
Yeah.
And that was wicked lekker.
Yeah, stunning, stunning vibes.
Okay. And what does playing live means to you, especially as you are a relatively new band, but one with a lot of experience under its belt?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best part of the job, really, is getting it, being able to go on stage and just feel that connection with people. And yeah, we just enjoy it so much. We're four best friends. And every time we get on stage, we always have so much fun together. We never feel too nervous or anything like that. So I think we feel very lucky to have not only the connection with the band, but the connection with the fans as well. So it's great. It's amazing.
Yeah. And sometimes I think at the end, you're doing this job for the fans, for the moments with the fans.
Of course, that's what it's all about. And it's just, I think as well, because some of our tracks are about slightly darker subjects, about mental health and such, it's really nice to know that some of those lyrics are resonating with people that are struggling with the same problems that I've been through. So it feels really nice to know that we're helping people open up a little bit about their feelings and just embracing the moment and just having a good night. Because sometimes, you know, people only get to go to one show a year and it's their big night of the year. And it's just really nice to see people having an amazing time.
Yeah. Okay, experience and new beginnings on stage, energy and musical death. Leap embodies it all. Listening to your past.
So many compliments. Yeah. I love it. Can get used to this kind of interview.
It's important to do this,
I think. Yeah. Okay.
Because sometimes, I need to point it out, because sometimes musicians are high sensitive people and they are struggling.
We're emotional creatures.
Yeah, very emotional.
Dankeschön. Manchester.
So back to the questions, I think. So listening to your past releases, you quickly sense how multi-layered your sound is. And so let's take a deeper dive into your creative inner world. You released several EPs, but not a full album yet. Why you do this in this way?
I think in the modern music climate, it's really important to release regular music to try and build your online fan base, especially on Spotify and other DSPs where you're expected to put out music every month or 6 weeks or so. It's the best way to get the algorithms going. That's a really lame answer, I'm sorry. But no, I guess we've just been waiting for the right moment. You know, we want to make sure that we have the fan base there in place for when we release our debut album. And we're super excited to announce that we will be doing that this year. Mm. October 3rd, we're going to be releasing our debut album called Entropy. Okay.
Great news.
Spoiler. I guess it's, you know, like we don't have a record label. We're a totally independent band. So sometimes producing and recording music can be expensive as well. So I think we were just waiting for the right time to put all the collection of tracks together that we feel really proud about. And so we can send it to vinyl to press and everything like that. But we're feeling really good about the record and I hope you guys enjoy it as well.
Yeah, but I think it's not a lame argument to say that you want to wait because the music industry is a fast industry.
Very much,
And some bands have problems or struggles or whatever because they are in the rush to release.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we wanted to take our time a little bit and I think it's been worth the wait. I hope people enjoy it when it comes out. I'm sure they will. Yeah, you're going to love it, mate.
Yeah. But at the moment, we need to say we will see.
We'll see, yeah, for now. Maybe it will get slated. Who knows? Chatting up a big album.
Okay, but how can I imagine? How does your songs come to life? Maybe we can walk together through the process from your first idea to the finished track. How does you do this?
I think often I don't have any set formula for approaching it, really. Often it can just come from one little idea that you have, one lyric or something like that, and you build the song around that. Sometimes it starts with a beat, other times it starts with a riff. Other times it starts with a nice lyric and it's just about capturing a really special moment and then trying to make the rest of the song work around that moment, I'd say. But we're very fortunate to have an incredible producer that helps us a lot with that, a guy called Tom Leach, who's also from Scotland. Me and Hector were brought up in Edinburgh.
Yeah, we're Scottish. Mainly a Scottish band, 50% Scottish.
So yeah, we're very grateful to work with him because he's worked with some amazing artists like Lewis Capaldi, some other really big people. So it's really important to have a great producer, and we're thankful for his help as well.
Okay, you dropped a very important thing, the producer. I think for the listeners, it's not really clear what does a producer do and why it's helpful. Maybe one of you can explain it.
Of course, yeah. I think there's different levels of involvement from different producers, or depending on the artist. But Tom is a very much hands-on producer. He also writes a lot of the backing music and stuff like that. So we're very fortunate to have that connection with him, because he's not only a great friend, but he's an incredibly talented musician as well. So he helps us. We wouldn't be anything without our producer, to be honest. We'd just be four dudes sort of just making a lot of noise.
And how can I imagine, you said it, produce music, making music not only costs time, it costs also money. Do you have your own studio, for example, or where do you make music?
We're very lucky that we got our own studio quite recently, actually, which has been such a fun process. Me and Hector, we've got a little bit of DIY experience, so we built a drum room within there. We had a lot of fun doing that.
They did a great job.
Yeah. Anything to add on that matter, boys?
Yeah, it's amazing having your own space, because then you can just turn up at the space, all four of us, plug in, play, ideas flow out of that much easier, and you get tighter as well because you got more time just jamming and writing and rehearsing. So yeah, it's an absolute privilege that we are lucky to now have.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shane.
It's so funny with you. Thank you.
Do you like our accents? They're sounding good.
So, you're fairly new as a band, but not as musicians. What have you learned from your peers or from your projects before or from the music industry that helps you now?
Well, let's all do one on this, because we've all had different experiences so far. Yeah. So my last band called The Mispers, we were very kind of fortunate, you could say, to sign to a major record deal, which had some great moments and stuff. But I also learned from that sometimes you have people that come in with money and they give you money and they change the whole creative vision of the project, and that can really destroy a band really fast. So we've had multiple record deal offers for this project, Leap, but we've been very hesitant to accept anything, because we feel like it can be the fastest way to destroy a band is by taking big investment and then giving other people creative decisions. So I think the most important thing I've learned from that is stick to your beliefs and try and just believe in your vision and try and get that to the final point before you allowing other people to get involved. So that'd be my thoughts. What's your thoughts, Dickie?
I'd say personally that I think I've learned that you've got to it might sound really weird to say, but you've got to keep enjoying it. You've really got to enjoy it. I've definitely been involved in things where I wasn't necessarily enjoying it as much, and it took away from the energy and felt a bit forced. And then a genuine connection amongst the members as well. I've definitely been involved in projects where the connection hasn't been as strong, and you kind of do force it to make it work because you see something's good there and everyone's very talented, but the connection, it comes across, especially with what we're like on stage. I personally feel, even just from looking back at videos and stuff, that it's so evident that we all really enjoy being around each other, playing music together, and there's so much fun there. And I think that's a huge part of what makes Leap Show what it is, the amount of fun we're all having, that we then have that connection with the crowd as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was going down a similar vein in my brain. It's the music industry is so fickle and moves so fast, and things can break down quickly. So just to really enjoy it, like we've all been in projects before where we think this is it, this is our heart and soul, this is our life now. And a couple of years later, that's no longer the case. So just to really freaking enjoy the ride, because we are loving this right now and this is our whole life and we're giving it everything. But as soon as you just take your eye off the ball or aren't enjoying it as much, it might evaporate. So yeah, just time is precious, and everything's impermanent, so just to really enjoy it. And also, secondly, just when something is personal, it's universal. So like if we write a song and it feels really good to us, it probably is going to feel good to someone else. So yeah, just trust our instincts and go with them.
Okay, very important. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd echo that point as well. What's beautiful about doing something creative is that you don't have to do like a 9-to-5, and you don't have to be stuck in something that's necessarily not where your heart wants to be. So what's amazing is you get to keep it fun whilst also doing work. So yeah, keep the enjoyment in it. Don't let it sap your livelihood away from you.
Yeah.
Just to finally say, we've all been in projects that we've maybe felt aren't going so well in the past, but this one, when the four of us congealed into this formation, it really just took on a life of its own. Because yeah, as Jack said, we're all best friends, and the connection on stage and musically and sonically has just been incredible. So just to really go for that has been a blessing.
I think trust is a very important thing. You said you're four best friends. Mm-hmm. And what does it, this connection between you four makes with you during the creative process compared to the other projects
well,
before?
Well, I would say, like you were saying before, you get some insecurities from musicians. I think I've definitely put myself in that bracket if I can be a little bit insecure. So sometimes I write something and I'm like, I think I like it, and then I'm really not sure if I do anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think if I didn't have the support of my brothers, who are, you know, always backing me up and filling me with confidence, and not only doing that, but helping me just achieve my dreams and my vision and stuff like that, I feel so blessed to have them by my side, because I genuinely don't think I'd be playing to rooms of maybe 10 people if it was just me. So I feel very blessed to have them with me.
Yeah, but I think it's more challenging to play for 10 people than to play for 2,000.
You're not wrong, hey? Yeah, you can have a rough one in front of 10 people where you can hear the coughing in the back of the room. You can sense the energy. It's a lot more fun playing to full rooms. But we've been so fortunate with this project. We've never, like, we only play full rooms, really. Yeah. Just saying. Or we don't turn up.
Yeah. Okay, then you already released two new tracks this year, Play Dead and Over and Out. They show that you're not afraid to be open.
Damn right.
Musically and also thematically. And the things get a little bit personal. Play Dead and Over and Out are powerful, both in musically and in terms of the theme. What are these songs about for you? Because I ask this because the listener also have an idea, a story.
Okay, yeah.
And they listen to
well, that's
song.
Kind of what I like about our songs, that sometimes people can make up their own minds about them. But what the song were written about is, Play Dead is about sometimes when you have feelings of doubt within inside yourself, or you're feeling a little lost in the world, maybe the way that you deal with that is you put your emotion into something, like whether that's alcohol or drugs or sex or whatever it is, you throw yourself, because you're not feeling happy, you throw yourself deep into other people. So it's kind of like, that's what Play Dead's about, is specifically it's about being a little bit promiscuous, you could say, about trying to lose yourself in someone else's body a little bit, because you're not feeling so great within yourself, so you're trying to take your pain and put it into someone else for however long you do your thing. And Over and Out is kind of about the feeling when you have like an ex-partner and you had such an amazing time together, and you feel like you're not able to let go of that person. Like, whether that's going one way or another, it's like you separated, but still that person is there with you forever, and you won't ever get rid of that memory. You won't ever escape that.
That's slightly better, that one.
Yeah, yeah, but we have such moments, I think, in life.
Yeah.
Okay, and I have to say that I really appreciate the energy in your songs, but at the same time, I like the multi-faced it's very cool and it hits me on a very emotional nerve.
Does it hit you with a heavy dose?
So let's briefly the two or two three other tracks that truly resonate with me. Exit Signs, Where Does Silence Go, let's and go. Energies.
Okay, you like the bangers. You're here. She's here for the hits. You're here for the hits, eh?
Yeah. What's the story behind the songs? And maybe what was the vision if you write the songs?
Exit Signs is about when you're in a relationship and you feel like you can see the end before it's already there. So it's like you can see little signs from your partner or whoever you're with that maybe the relationship is going to end. So it's kind of like about trying to embrace that feeling of loving each other still, but knowing at the back of your heart that this is over. So it's kind of just taking enjoyment in those last moments together, you know, as opposed to just like dwindling into nothing, rather trying to enjoy your last moments because you know it's going to end anyway. So you just enjoy yourself, you know.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Okay, now we go on to the next song, Where the Silence Go.
Where the Silence Goes is about a beautiful girl in my life called Tracy, who is, when I first met her, she was so much of a party girl and she never used to sleep. It seemed like she was always awake and I used to reference her being a bit of a vampire. Huh? So the song is kind of about her and about the amazing energy that she gave me and the way she made me feel.
Mm-hmm. And then we have, I dropped the song name, the song title, Energies.
So Energies is about, because I spent a lot of time in hospital. I've been diagnosed with bipolar and I spent a long time feeling quite depressed with my bipolar, so very low. And when I came out of that depression, it was almost the feelings of joy was almost like scary how like alive I was. It was kind of like a, wow, life is just exciting again. And the feeling that you get in your heart, you get all your energies come back. And it's kind of like, it's a great feeling, but it's also like, I'm a bit scared what I might do now because life is just too exciting almost. So that's what that one's about.
Yeah. To have a little gossip.
Here we go.
For me, Energies, when I hear the song, then that's describe for me the moment when you get out of a bad relationship.
For sure.
And you,
they're all breakup songs, really.
Yeah. And maybe, but it's don't need to be a relationship from your friend, but it can also be with family members or something like this.
Yeah,
when
of course,
you
yeah.
get out of a toxic relationship and then you feel how your energy come back.
No, it's so true. It's very true indeed. Yeah. I think it's any change in personal situation when you feel like you can suddenly breathe again.
Yeah.
It's a really great feeling.
But then also the maybe the we are afraid of the moment when we take the next step and get back in such relationship.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, can go either way. Can go either way.
Yeah, but also with the background that you're bipolar, I think it's very hard to handle sometimes because you know there will come a phase where you're down again.
Well, yeah, it's been a while, so I'm hoping not, but I think technically, yes, it probably will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite hard to handle, I think. But
yeah, it's just that, you know, sense of dread, you know.
Yeah. It's like to be friendly with your demons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Embrace the demons.
Okay. I want to talk with you about the toxic relationship, loneliness and self-care in this relation. You often touch, as we heard now, these intense emotional experience. Maybe what makes a healthy relationship or what are the signs to feel that this relationship isn't a good relationship?
The first word that pops to mind is communication, for sure. So obviously if it's healthy, there's a lot of communication there and you're very supportive of each other. And you're just each other's freaking cheerleader, you know, just spurring each other on their journey and helping each other through everyone has suffering, so just helping the other with that. And then I guess if it's toxic, there aren't those things there, and communication's broken down, and things become bitter, and there's resentment starts to creep in. That becomes a bit more toxic, I'd say. So yeah, communication and peace and love.
Maybe especially through social media, we see things that we take for normal, but they aren't normal. Maybe also for relationships or how we express ourselves and so on. What would you wish for in terms of how social media or society should be to support our society or our individual? What can be better in the social media aspect?
Well, I think there's a little bit of an idea that social media brings across that anyone can become famous through social media. And I think it's become less about sharing information with your friends and being social, and rather a journey to try and be famous online. So I think they should try and re-embrace the idea of friendship and sharing with your friends just for the hell of it, as opposed to trying to be someone big on social media, because that's when people start doing really cringy stuff. And also that's when people get addicted, because they get addicted to the feeling of getting a lot of likes, getting a lot of followers, and suddenly if those things are stripped away, they lose their sense of self-worth. So I'd say, you know, make social media a little bit more fun again and less about being famous, you know? Yeah, bring back poking. Facebook pokes, man.
Who remembers Facebook poking?
I'd say also have boundaries with it. If there was a way that Instagram wasn't live between like 10 at night and 8 a.m. at least, or some sort of time limit would be healthy for people's brains.
Yeah.
Like, two people in the world own all of the social medias, and that's not a healthy thing. So, there's just a big monopoly, and it's going to pump the ideology of whoever owns it, obviously. You see with Twitter nowadays. And that's a super scary thing. So I guess, yeah, I tried to demonopolize it, but that's not going to happen, obviously, anytime soon.
Yeah, but
watch out, Zuckerberg. We're coming for you, bro.
But it's quite important. I think about it, and my thoughts go in this direction that I think we need to build up a new social media base. But maybe in 5 or 10 years, they also get such radical like Facebook or Instagram.
Why is it Mason called Meep and we own it?
and then you have all the data.
No.
Basically Instagram.
Okay.
Follow Jeremy.
But I think to get back to my questions, I think it's also part of your music that your music becomes a space for healing. It begs the questions, what does it actually do to us physically, emotionally, and honestly? Why it's important to listen to music and go to concerts?
I think it's such an incredible thing to go to a concert, especially for someone who's never been before, because like you were saying before, social media can really grip you in and you feel like you have a community there, but it's not like you're really experiencing human emotions there. I feel like you can sense the feeling of emotion in a room when you're going to a live concert. So, I've met some of my best friends at concerts as well, and it's really great to see that some of our fans are connecting with each other and making friends.
But especially, besides the question that it's important to go to concerts and to listen to music, what does music mean to you?
I mean, music means everything to me personally. It's been kind of my savior through some of the darkest moments in my life. I feel like it's given me purpose with my life. I feel I wasn't very good at school, and it kind of something that I was good at. And not only that, but I looked up to so many musicians growing up, you know, people like the Strokes and bands like that, and it gave me a sense of identity, I think. And I just love the community of the people that you meet in the rock community. I feel like they wear black clothes and they look a little bit scary sometimes, but they're the nicest people you can ever meet. They're little, you know,
yeah,
they look like a lion on the outside, but they're a little kitten on the inside. So it's we've been so lucky to meet such incredible people on this journey, and we just hope it keeps going like that.
You're a British band, and what are your biggest challenges in the music industry right now, especially as a UK-based band?
Oh, wow. This is an interesting question. I mean, it can be difficult being from the UK, especially since Brexit, which sucks. We certainly did not support that. We did not want anything to do with that. And it's made touring a lot more expensive and more difficult for everything. I think it's also harder to break through in the UK because there's so much music that comes out. There's a lot of talent in the UK for music and so many influences from bands from the past. You know, obviously the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, but so many bands, of generations of bands that have come from the UK. So it can be quite a crowded marketplace. So trying to break through amongst all that noise is difficult sometimes, but we're finally getting there, hopefully. So I feel very grateful.
And how important are small and independent venues for you? Because I know that there is a special program or initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Initiative.
Yeah. Initiative.
Initiative. in UK for grassroots venues, and how important they are for you, and how, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so important. I think having grassroots venues where young aspiring acts can have a place to perform their music to their small fan bases is so important. I actually worked at a music venue for 6 years, and getting to see so many different acts from all over the place come through there was just an amazing experience. I think it's really sad because so many music venues are closing, but I think it's so important that the government does everything they can to support small music venues, because ultimately, if you didn't have small music venues, you might not see people like, I don't know, Sam Fender, or people like that have just started very small and then they've gradually risen up. If they don't get those opportunities to play in front of crowds in smaller rooms, then they wouldn't exist, they wouldn't be here. So I think it's so important for the progression of music and to keep music alive, you need the small venues.
And now, by touring through the different countries, do you see differences between the countries and the small venues?
I mean, yeah, we have our best time in Germany. I can't lie. I'm not just saying that because we're in Germany, but we've been very fortunate throughout mainland Europe to get lots of support. But I feel like the treatment of artists here in Germany is so, so good compared to the UK. You get so much more support and just better treatment and much nicer energy with the venue staff and such.
Mm-hmm. We come back to your drop at the beginning of the interview. There will be a new album.
That is correct.
Well, not a new album, the debut album.
The debut album is coming this year. We're super excited about it. It's called Entropy. It comes out on October 3rd. We're incredibly proud of it. Yeah, so the first single is going to be dropping the day we get back from tour. And it's called Sinking Feeling. It's a song about that feeling that you get in your chest sometimes when you are dreading something, but you don't know why or for what reason. And I think it's something that people can relate to. But for me personally, it's about that fear of dropping back into depression. That's what it's about. But it's a very fun feeling song that gets the people moving. So we're excited to play it tonight and hopefully people like it.
And the two other songs that were released this year,
Play Dead and Over and Out.
Yeah, they are also on the album, or
they will be on the album. Yeah.
Okay.
But we've got some other bangers on there.
Yeah, okay. We are very excited to hear this, and we will see.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure, and we hope you enjoy the show tonight.
Yeah, and I have one last question for
you.
If you have one wish for you, what would you wish for?
Maybe I'll be a little bit taller. I'm joking. No, I don't know. I think I wish that our debut album is received very well. And I hope that we can keep this journey going, because we feel so grateful to have the fan base we have already, but to spread that message even further, that people can be themselves and be open with their feelings and how the way that they feel, that would be such a blessing, because it fills my heart with so much joy to know that we're spreading a good message and letting people feel comfortable at shows and just being themselves.
Okay, then thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And for your
can answer. I have a cuddle?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Do you guys have anything to add to that?
I've got to get ready quite soon,
but I've had the best time ever.
Thank you.
Solid than that, another.
May I have a cuddle? Whoa. Oh, don't want to print stuff. I don't care. We'll see you out there, okay? We'll see you in the mosh pit.
Yes.
Ja, liebe Freunde des Rock'n'Rolls, damit ist Metal Minds The Pit Unplugged für heute zu Ende. Wir hatten heute Leap im Gespräch, eine britische Band, und Leap bringen am 3. Oktober ihr Debütalbum Entropy heraus. Also ja, checkt die doch einfach nochmal aus.
überall dort, wo es Musik gibt. Und sie gehen dann auch wieder auf Tour. Ich kann euch die Shows von denen bloß ans Herz legen. Also es ist wirklich sehr energiegeladen. Jack, der Sänger, der geht auch mehrfach ins Publikum rein und animiert da ziemlich ordentlich zum Mitmachen und alles rauslassen. Konzerte sind eh ein wundervoller Ort, um einfach mal alles rauszulassen und ganz viel zu fühlen. In diesem Sinne, mein Name war, ist und wird es immer sein, Diane Heinbucher, und wir sehen uns im Pit.